Good evening. We are so happy that you've chosen to tune in to our service tonight by live stream here at Delrata. Of course, it looks like everyone received the news regarding why we're not having services tonight. It really has nothing to do with COVID. We've had a huge water leak, and the water affects the heating and here at the building, and so we have decided to go live stream tonight. Of course, we're looking forward to meeting in person on Sunday at 10 o'clock. We would encourage you, if you feel comfortable, to be here on Sunday at 10. And of course, it will be live streamed as well. And of course, that'll continue on Wednesday nights from now on too. We will meet in person as well as have live stream services. Got a few announcements, or one announcement I want to make tonight. I want to remind you of the wedding of Hannah Best and Esteban Paula. It'll take place this coming Saturday, January the 16th, here at the Delrata Church Building, beginning at 2:30. You know, COVID has really had an impact on all of us. It's impacted our country. It's impacted our community. It certainly has impacted the Lord's church. People have lost their jobs. People have lost their lives. Depression and anxiety have become something that's not a stranger to many, many people, as it may have been before. And so people are having a very difficult time. And certainly we want to remember in prayer, as we go to God in prayer, those that are being impacted by this virus. We know of people who've lost loved ones, and hopefully the end will come very, very soon. All we can do is trust God and be faithful and committed to Him. So before we begin tonight, let's have a word of prayer. Our merciful and kind Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to You for all that You do for us. Our Father, we want to trust You. We realize You're in control. But Father, at this time, we pray to You that You would help all those who are being impacted by this COVID virus. There are some that we know who are no longer here on this earth because of this virus. Others have been impacted as well through the loss of their jobs. And Father, we pray that You would bless all of those that are impacted by this pandemic. Most of all, Father, we pray that You would bless the church. We pray that the church will continue to be the shining light that it needs to be in our world and in our communities. And we pray that all in the church will continue to strive to move forward and to do those things that will build up Your kingdom in the future. Father, we pray for those that are sick. There's so many that we know of. There are many that we know who are shut-ins. We pray that You would be with them as well. And Father, those that have lost loved ones, we especially pray that You would comfort their hearts at this time. Most of all, Father, we're thankful for Jesus, and we're so thankful for His sacrifice on the cross, and it's in His name that we pray. Amen. Tonight I'm going to do something not really different as far as the lesson is, but last week I just kept feeling that I have been rushing through the lesson. I don't like to feel that way. You know, you can cover a point and yet not really cover it the way you should. So I'm going to slow down, and if I get through, I get through, and if I don't, I'm not going to worry about it. We are continuing our study on Wednesday night through the month of January on attitudes, the heart of God's child. And tonight, our emphasis is on being a mature child of God. What are the attitudes of a mature child of God? And I want us all tonight to be challenged to try to make that a reality in our lives. You know, the highest honor that I believe a person can receive today is to be identified as God's child, 1 John 3 and verse 1. And of course, one way that we demonstrate our sonship is through our Christ-like attitudes. We're admonished to have the mind of Christ in Philippians 2 and verse 5. But we're going to focus our attention tonight primarily on Romans chapter 12. And there in Romans chapter 12, we will find identified several attitudes that will identify us as mature children of God. Now, if you look at verse 1 as we begin tonight, let's notice the child of God's attitude toward his body. You know, caring for our physical bodies really is a matter of stewardship. Now, how would you define a steward? Well, a steward is one who is entrusted with the care and the management of another's affairs or another's property. Maybe at some point in time in your life, somebody asked you to watch their home or watch their property while they were away, and they entrusted you in the care of that responsibility. Also, the steward has the responsibility to be trustworthy, you know, with those possessions. You know, 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2 says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." And so it's very important that all of us as children of God understand the fact that we are simply stewards of all that God has given us. And hence, as stewards, we must take care of our physical bodies. You know, we are admonished in Romans 12 and verse 1 to present them to God as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. And as faithful stewards of our bodies, there are some things that we must never forget. As stewards of our physical bodies, we must never neglect our bodies. That's very easy to do sometimes, isn't it? It's very easy for us to neglect the things that would be needful for our physical bodies. You know, the Bible says that bodily exercise profits little over in the book of 1 Timothy 4 and verse 8, but it does profit. But compared to being godly, it's really somewhat negative. But we live here upon this earth, and therefore we have a responsibility to take care of our physical bodies in the best way that we can. Also, we need to daily discipline our bodies. You know, Paul emphasized that in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. He said, I buffet my body. No, that's not what he said. He said, I buffet my body. You know, buffet may be good now and then, but, you know, if I want to take care of my body, I probably need to watch what I eat. But Paul talked about self-discipline. I discipline my body. He said, I bring it into subjection. And that's something that we need to do as well. We need to daily discipline our bodies. Also, we need to practice the grace of self-control. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12, the Bible emphasizes the fact that it's a sin to be brought under the power of any influence. In other words, we need to avoid those things that are addicting in nature. We need to learn to practice the grace of self-control. Also, care for our bodies so that Jesus and His life may be glorified in our bodies. Above all, we want to glorify God. We want to put the spotlight on Jesus and on His church by the way we use our physical bodies. We need to care for our bodies also so that we can joyfully give an account of our stewardship before the throne of Jesus. Now, one day, according to 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, every one of us is going to stand before God, and we're going to give an account of the deeds done in our bodies, whether it's good or bad. Have you ever really stopped to think about what inspiration is saying right there? Paul is saying here, we're going to be judged in accordance to how we have used our physical bodies. If we use our bodies for selfish purposes, if we use our bodies to fulfill our own lust, our own desires, if we use our physical bodies to do that which is wrong and sinful, then one day we're going to give an account for the deeds that we've done in the physical body. That's why it's important for us to understand that caring for our physical bodies is a matter of stewardship. Let's talk about the challenge, though, of caring for our physical bodies. You know, we're growing older. I look at my own self, and it's very obvious to me that I cannot do many things at the age of 55 that I could do 15 or 20 years ago. I try sometimes, but I pay for it when I do try. But we know that our bodies are continually changing, and it's a challenge sometimes to care for our physical bodies. First, we're challenged to love our bodies by cherishing them and nurturing them. You know, a person that is normal, we might say, nourishes and takes care of his physical body. In other words, it's a natural thing for a person to love himself. It should be a natural thing for a person to want his physical body to prosper. And that's something we need to consider. Secondly, the Bible encourages us to consider our physical bodies dead. That is, dead from all immorality. Or as the King James says, fornication, which is any kind of illicit sexual activity. In other words, when we think about the challenge of caring for our physical bodies, we must endeavor to separate our bodies from participating in that which is immoral. Thirdly, though, we are admonished to present our physical bodies as a living sacrifice. Romans 12 and verse 1. You know, you recall in the Old Testament when sacrifices were offered, the priest would take the blood or that animal, and he would cut that animal in two. The blood would be shed. We know that that animal was then placed upon the altar, and that entire animal was consumed in the fire of that altar. Well, Romans 12 and verse 1 challenges us to understand that we are to be a living sacrifice. We are to put ourselves literally upon the altar of God's service. And our primary goal in life must be to please God in all things, all that we say and think and do. We are a living sacrifice. As Paul said, it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ living in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, he said, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so the challenge for us today is to present those bodies as a living sacrifice. Fourthly, we are charged not to let sin reign in our physical bodies. That is, obeying its lusts, Romans chapter 6 and verse 12. Now, we are human. We're going to sin. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to fall short. But we have a responsibility not to let sin reign supreme and be dominant in our lives. That's a challenge today in our world in which we live. The challenge of caring for our physical bodies. Number three, though, biblical help to be good stewards of our physical bodies is something that I think we need to consider. I think we're going to be faithful stewards of our bodies if we will remember these things. First of all, our bodies are for the Lord's work. Our bodies are for the Lord's glory. Our bodies are also members of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 15. We need to remember the command to flee all immorality which is a sin against the body. We must remember that. We need to remember that our bodies are the temple of God's Spirit. And therefore, we are to glorify God in our body, in our spirit, which are God's. We need to remember that we have been bought physically and spiritually with the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20. You know, the Bible says that we have been bought with a price. You are not your own. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, that can be difficult for us to do sometimes, but we need to realize that we have been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. I think about a little boy one time who saved his money because he wanted to buy just a little toy sailboat. The little boy saved his money and finally he was able to buy that sailboat. And one day he was out playing with it in the water in a stream and the boat got away from him. The boat was lost and the little boy was heartbroken because his toy, his little sailboat, was no longer in his possession. Several days later, he was with one of his parents at a garage sale in the area, and he saw his sailboat there in that garage sale, and it was for sale. Oh, he was so happy to see it, and he made a deal with the new owner that he would buy that sailboat back again. And once he bought it back again, he hugged that little sailboat and he said, "You are twice mine." You know, that's the way we are in our relationship with God. We are God's by the fact that He created us. And yet sin took us away from God. Sin separated us from God. Sin is that barrier that we cannot overcome in and of ourselves. But thankfully, God stepped in by His plan and He sent Jesus to die on the cross to pay the price for our salvation. Literally, we were bought twice. One by virtue of creation, the other by virtue of the blood of Jesus Christ. I think we also need to remember that the stewardship of our physical bodies will determine our eternal destiny. I think about that. And when you look at life itself, it's very brief. We know it's uncertain. We know that life is like a vapor here for a little time and then it vanishes away. And yet we need to understand that the stewardship of our physical bodies will determine our eternal destiny. And I think it's also good for us to remember the wrath of God. It's not something that's popular to talk about today, but Romans 11 and verse 22 talks about both the goodness and the severity of God. And I certainly don't want to be the subject of God's wrath, and neither do you. God is a good God. He's a gracious God. He's a merciful God. We can't even comprehend His love with our finite minds, but God is a God of wrath. God says what He means, and He means what He says. And one day, that wrath is going to be executed on those that have not obeyed the gospel, on those that have not been the stewardship of their physical bodies as they need to be. And I think we also need to remember the mercy and the love of God as well. God loves us. He cares for us. And if we can remember everything that God has done for us, then I believe that can motivate us in having the right kind of attitude toward our physical bodies. But the second point I want to make tonight, according in this text of Romans chapter 12, if you look at verse 2, let's talk about the child of God's attitude toward the world. We just talked about the child of God's attitude toward his body. Let's look at the attitude a child of God must have toward the world if he's going to be mature. What is the proper attitude? You know, think about the word world for just a minute. It's used to describe a specific age or a specific time. In 1 John chapter 2, you know, beginning in verse 15, the inspired writer says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father." What's John saying there? John said, we need to be aware of our attitude toward the world. I'm afraid sometimes we focus too much of our attention on the here and the now. We're so focused on money and possessions and things, all these that are temporary in nature. And we fail to realize that the most important things are those things of an eternal nature. And so we must not love the world. And therefore the question is, what should be our attitude toward the world in which we live? Well, if you look at Romans 12 and verse 2, inspiration challenges us not to be conformed to this world. Now, the word translated conform literally means to be fashioned. It means to be shaped like a mold. Many of you may have baked Christmas cookies over the holidays, especially if you have children or grandchildren, and maybe you had a mold to put that cookie dough in, shaped like a snowman or Santa Claus or a reindeer, and that dough would fit perfectly into the shape of that mold. And once baked, the shape of that particular cookie would look like what it was molded to be to start with. And so we need to realize today that to be conformed to this world is to be fashioned or to be shaped according to the world. And so as Christians, we are admonished not to let ourselves be fashioned by the standards of this world. 1 Peter 1 and verse 14. We need to be different from the world. The world needs to see in our lives a difference in how we live and in our attitudes versus what is commonly seen in those out in the world today. Well, how can we keep from being conformed to this world? Let me tell you, that's a difficult challenge, a very difficult challenge. To go to work, to do those things that we do every single day, it's difficult, very challenging, not to be conformed to this world. How can we do it? Well, to safeguard Christians from conforming to the world, the Lord challenges us here to be transformed. Romans 12 and verse 2. The word translated transformed means to undergo a change. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18. It's like a metamorphosis. You know, you see the caterpillar turn into a beautiful butterfly when they go into the cocoon. It's to undergo a change, and this change is to be orchestrated by the renewing of our minds. Now, notice that word renewing there. That word renewing means to renovate. It means to make something brand new. And that's the challenge that we have as Christians today. We are to renew our minds. The word translated minds is translated from a word which describes our perceptions. And perceptions are influenced by our will, our emotions, and our judgment. And thus, when it comes to renewing our minds, we have to change our will. We have to change how we feel about things, our emotions. And we have to manifest those kinds of judgments that are in accordance to God's will. Now, the importance of this renewal is understood when we realize that our minds are the chosen battlefields of the devil today. That's where the devil tries to get us today. And he does that in numerous ways. He wants to control our minds by the materialistic nature that is so evident in our culture today. He wants to control our minds by getting us to have the attitude that it's more important to advance in my job than it is to build up the Lord's kingdom. He wants to control our minds in that we become more accepting and more desensitized toward certain kinds of sin. You think about the move in our world today and in our culture to legitimize homosexual behavior, same-sex marriage. You see, things that the majority of people accept today, those things weren't even considered a generation ago. And we need to realize that whatever this generation accepts, the next generation is going to embrace. And so we have to understand that the devil has chosen the mind as his battlefield. And therefore, we're challenged to renew our mind. Well, how can we transform our minds, as Paul talked about? Well, the Apostle Paul, in writing to the Colossian and Ephesian brethren, challenged them to renew their minds by putting off the old man and putting on the new man. Now, we are made alive spiritually when we contact the blood of Jesus in the act of baptism. We know that that individual rises from that watery grave, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are made new. And we renew our minds by making sure that that old man stays.